Hi there, I'm Greg from Kapow. Visit us at kapow.com to check out our unique collection of everyday reusable products designed to help you do more with less. C-U-P-P-O-W.com.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to A Few Things with Claire and Erica.
I'm Erica.
I'm Claire.
Did that confuse people? You think that I said it first?
I don't know. I was just wondering how long do we have to be doing this podcast before we can stop introducing the concept of the podcast?
I think we can never stop introducing it.
Like, does Howard Stern introduce, like, this
He's
is
like,
the
I
Howard
have this
Stern
talk radio show.
Show,
and it's called Shock Jock.
Exactly. Like, is that, do Kathy Lee and Hoda say, like, we're happy.
No, they just start drinking wine and then they roll right into it.
So at some point, maybe we're not there yet. I'm getting
I think we're
a little
about 10 years away.
Okay. So Erica, what do we do on this show?
Well, this show is an extension of a weekly newsletter that we send out called 10 Things that is all of our latest discoveries. It is rooted on a website that we founded called Of A Kind that sells the pieces and tells the stories of emerging designers in the fashion and home space.
That great.
Oh, really?
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You should go to the website. You should see what we are selling. We released a really amazing single earring today.
Oh, that is like the coolest thing. It just makes you feel really cool when you
put
it on.
It's one. You're one earring away from being really cool.
Yeah,
that's what you need to know.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah,
it's got fringe. It's gold. It's really it's cool.
And the designer who made it, Jeet Sohal of Bear in Los Angeles, did a story for us about flower arranging from her garden that we actually referenced on a podcast a week or two ago.
That's correct.
So go read all of that. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. Hear about our latest discoveries, and then get a real deep dive into them over here every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern time.
And speaking of that website, today we're going to tell you how we run it.
Recently, we have been growing our team and have been doing some onboarding, and in that process, get to explain the weird quirks of how we run our business. Some of them are not, you know, terribly quirky. They're just tools and things that other companies most definitely use. And others are things that we have developed internally that most people probably think are insane.
All of them we swear by and get very thrown when people try to upend them. To do something differently. Like, what? You sent this file as an attachment?
Are you insane? Accept
things in Dropbox and Google Drive.
Yes.
Don't try that with me. Don't try me. I'm not a free sample.
So Claire Mazur, don't try me. I'm not a free sample. Okay. So where should we start? What do you think is the best way to dive in?
Should we really knock
people's socks off first
with our start time?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. That's good. Let's start with the start time.
Let's start with our start time. So our office hours are 10:30 to 6:30. Those are our official office hours where we expect people
That's technical ass and seat time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We are very often there much earlier and much later. But the philosophy around this and how it started since day one was that we always have stuff to do in the evening, usually work-related. It's, you know, events to go to, drinks, meetings, dinner meetings. And that means that in the morning, if we don't have the morning to ourselves, we will not have time to do anything that you have to do, like pick up your dry cleaning, go to the gym, see your spouse even.
Yeah. I have a regular breakfast date every Wednesday morning with my husband in our neighborhood. And it's, you know, it doesn't happen every single week, but it happens almost every week.
Well,
and
because the beautiful thing about it's rare that anyone's going to try to encroach upon your morning.
Well, I feel like we've had a lot of morning encroaching recently, but it's like, it's an hour, you know, it's an hour that you can sort of hold.
Exactly.
And yeah, it's not the hardest thing in the world. And even if I have a morning meeting, he and I can go to breakfast at 7 or 8, which just means getting up a little earlier and forcing yourself out of bed.
And I talk about this endlessly, but I exercise every morning and I just am religious about it. And, you know, like Erica said, these days we do have a lot more morning stuff happening. We, you know, have just had to be more flexible about that. But you just get up earlier and you do that stuff in the morning. But at least having that sort of, idea that our days technically start at 10:30 gives us the opportunity to do other things. And a lot of
times, it gives you at least a morning or two a week where you can take care of some things.
Exactly. Yeah. And grocery shop, just whatever. It's so nice. And you know, a lot of times it's even just means getting work done outside the office or whatever, just having that moment of peace and calm. And it's funny, somebody that we work with now just can't sleep and likes to get to the office at 7 or 8 a.m. And we were making fun of him. And actually, I found this article that I sent to him. I think it was some Swedish researchers. I don't know why I think it's
sounds
Swedes.
Like the Swedes.
It sounds like a Swedish thing. They basically were like, it is unnatural for humans to get to the office before 10 a.m. And that something about our natural biological rhythm says that it's inhumane to ask people to be at the office at 9 a.m.
Inhumane.
This was science. This was, you know, basic human rights we're talking about, plus
kids,
science.
It's science. Yeah.
So we stand by that 10:30 start time. We will capitulate often and end up starting earlier, but our thought is we want people in the office by then. And it also, I think the other nice thing about it is a lot of times people will go to the doctor at like 9 a.m. and still get to the office by 10:30. So it ends up being less disruptive in that way.
Correct. I think we should talk about the thing that people are going to think is the craziest, which is CCing.
Yeah.
So we are aggressive CCers.
So, so aggressive. We CC each other on every single thing, every email we send.
Like, to the point where when Clara was wedding planning, I would be CC'd on emails accidentally because of
it's
muscle
autopilot.
Memory.
Yeah, muscle memory. Yeah. Exactly.
This happens all the time. Yeah. Basically, we started doing this 5 years ago when we launched Of a Kind. And our thinking behind it at that time was, you know, that we wanted each other's input on things, yes, but that we also just wanted this transparency around what we were working on, and CCing meant that we had to have so many less check-in meetings.
Yes. You never have to say like, did you do that thing? Which is annoying in and of itself, but sometimes it starts to sound passive aggressive. Like, hey, did you do that thing you said you were going to do? You just know because you're on the email.
Exactly.
And the other nice thing about it, like you said, is you always know what everybody's working on. So I rarely ever have that moment where I'm sitting in a meeting with multiple people and something's getting talked about and I'm like, I have no clue.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not working on the thing myself, I have a sense of what it is and that feels good. And
it allows you to engage.
Exactly. It allows you to engage, allows you to just feel like there's fewer silos of information where, you know, left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing.
Right.
And so we are super aggressive about it and we over CC our employees too. And I'm sure and ask them to CC us on everything. And, you know, we're right now, we're six full-time people in the office and that is a manageable size to be CC'd on most emails. I mean, Erica has an inbox strategy that would frighten most people. Mine is bad too, but hers is crazy.
I don't delete things.
She doesn't delete things. She doesn't really archive things.
No. It's just all in an inbox. It's all searchable. I don't care about inbox zero. Who cares?
Well, my favorite thing about it is that I think most people get really upset about it. But that Erica at the same time is also better than anybody I know at responding to emails. She will not respond to an email. Even annoying salespeople will get a response out of Erica.
It's true.
I shouldn't have said it. Now they're all coming after you.
Yeah. I don't have any unread emails. Like, I mark things as read and use unread.
From jcrew.com?
Okay, that's not in my personal, I don't have anything in my primary inbox that's unread. So that's sort of how I, you know, manage that.
For me, I have a lot of stuff that's unread, especially all those emails I'm CC'd on. But my thing is, I can go, if a question arises, like, where are we on X project? Yeah. I can search my inbox, find this email that I haven't read and get up to date. And I love that. And so, yeah, we ask everybody who we work with to also be very aggressive about CCing. And I also have a canned response in my inbox to tell other people who we're emailing with to remind them to hit reply all. Because if somebody doesn't hit reply all on a chain, you know, there's all the manual work to add everybody back in. So I have this really quick canned response. It's like, by the way, could you just hit reply all moving forward? Because this is something that when you are addicted to CCing, you have to ask people to do all the time.
Yes. So speaking of canned responses, we use two different tools for canned responses. One, I guess it should be noted that we use Gmail for our company email.
It's a Gmail app. Yeah, it's Gmail for business.
Exactly. Yeah. Which makes a really, you know, big difference in terms of integrating some of these tools. So
sorry, Lotus Notes users.
Yeah, huge apologies. for everything that you have to deal with.
Sorry for all of Lotus Notes.
Yeah. So we use canned responses in Gmail, which is a Gmail, what do they call it?
It's like a lab, Gmail lab.
Gmail lab. That's what it is, yeah. A Gmail lab tool, where you can basically create a response that you use over and over mm-hmm. again, name it, and then select it from a drop-down when you're in an email. But even better, mm-hmm. We have this tool called Streak that is a project management tool that allows you to share projects across users via your Gmail inbox. So it's great for hiring. It's great for designer onboarding mm-hmm. that we do. It's keeping great for editorial management, exactly, yeah. to see where something is in the process. But even more than that, it has this amazing canned response tool called Snippets. Mm-hmm. And the great thing is that you can create these little, you know, canned responses that you can then create keyboard shortcuts for.
And this is how all the salespeople end up getting responses.
Yeah. So
she has one that, can I tell?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I think
it's hashtag no.
Hashtag no. And it's just, which it's just really, it's, I'm three keystrokes away from a response, which is like, hi, thanks so much for reaching out. I really appreciate it. We are not interested right now. I'll let you know if that changes.
I do this now.
Hashtag
too.
No.
It's great. It's hashtag no.
I don't know. I just have this philosophy that if someone writes an email that is actually addressed to me and seems to have some understanding of what I'm doing, they should get a response. I don't respond to a newsletter.
I endorse this, and I have more or less adopted this, although I'm not as good at it as you are. I think you're right.
No, if they keep following up and hounding me after I've said no, like that, I can't get behind.
I get so rage cagey about it.
That's hard.
Besides hashtag no, what is your favorite canned response?
Ooh, wow. I think the one with our address. We both one for our address that is super helpful just to give people directions to tell them what subway stop to get off at. Because our office is also one of these places that is much faster to get to on public transportation than by cab.
That's part of my canned response about this. Yes. Don't take a cab. You will be an hour late.
So we're saving ourselves time and energy by not having people show up 20 minutes late because of bad financial district traffic.
And all it is a hashtag of a kind, I think, for me. I don't know. Hashtag oak.
Yeah. Mine is one where there is an opportunity with Streak also to basically create the shortcut. So it says, you know, like I'll start typing we're at, and then it will fill in the rest.
That used to be mine. And then it was a huge mistake because then if I ever started a different sentence with the words we're at, I couldn't get
you
it.
You have to be very careful about what
God, is this the most boring podcast episode we've done? I have no idea. I hope you guys like hearing about this. I hope you've at least self-selected and you're only listening if you really care about work habits. But I think Fast Company, you know, just published an entire issue on productivity. Here's
our tips. Entire business model is based on this. I think it's fine.
I mean, there's a difference between interviewing Oprah and us about productivity, but it's fine.
Yeah, a huge difference. And we're going to see how it goes. So download Streak. It's super interesting to play with.
It's like a CRM. It works as a CRM, which stands for Customer Relationship Management Tool. And it is most, I sort of think, traditionally used by salespeople who want to track where our people are in the sales pipeline. But what you figure out is that you use pipelines for everything. Like Erica was talking about when you assign a story to a writer. Or for me, if I'm working with a designer and I want to see where am I in the stage with them? Have I just reached out to them? Are we in the middle of product development? Do we have a sample? And you can
attach files to it. You can share it across people. So different people can change the status as they do certain things. You can assign tasks to people. It's really
great. It's also attached to email, which is amazing. So you click on the pipeline and it pulls up all the emails associated with it. It is pretty wonderful. It's a great tool.
Another tool that a lot of people use at this point is Slack.
Yes.
Which is a chat tool that is basically like a really fancified, souped up GChat.
Yes.
It is searchable. You can create different channels to talk about different things. So I think one of the problems we've always had with GChat is that you start having one conversation, you remember something else you want to ask, mm-hmm. and then you have to say, okay, and also about this other thing.
Right.
And that just does not work very well.
And it gets out of order. It's a mess.
Yeah.
It's very organized. You can tag certain people in channels so that it alerts them that you're talking to them. You can drop files in it. It integrates with our customer service platform, which is called Help Scout. It integrates with Dropbox, which we'll talk about later. It is really wonderful. And our attitude has been if you were just going to send a quick email to somebody, put it in Slack instead. And that's an internal thing. So it's cut down on inbox clutter so much, because if we're emailing somebody on the team, or if we have something to say to somebody on the team, it usually goes in Slack instead of in the inbox. And so if for no other reason that it makes our inboxes more sane, it's really wonderful.
Correct. All right, let's give people a break. They're like, yeah, great.
Oh my God, I forgot that we take breaks.
Let's go to commercial. Yeah, let's do it.
Americans throw away 58 billion disposable cups every year. A lot of those cups will still be around long after you're dead. Kind of dark, I know, but I'm Greg from Kapow, and we decided to do something about it. We created the only glass travel mug that's 100% US made. You can check it out alongside our complete line of everyday reusables at kapow.com, C-U-P-P-O-W.com.
Hi!
We're back. I almost got distracted because I was reading an email from Streak that you can now format your columns like to be dollars or percents.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa. Timely, Streak. Good job.
So timely.
This is A Few Things with Claire and Erica, and we have been talking about how Of A Kind works, how we work as people.
The rules of getting things done at Of A Kind HQ.
Productivity or something like that.
Something like that. The other really big thing in our lives are Google calendars or shared calendars. You could use any type of shared calendar.
Yes.
Eric and I, the other sort of insane thing we do in addition to CCing each other on every single email is that we have our entire calendar shared with each other, which
you have to have a specific relationship for that to make sense. You have to really want to know when someone's getting acupuncture or when they're going on a date or whatever else they may be doing.
But I just can't imagine for the number of meetings that we do together every time saying, hey, Erica, are you available at this time? I just know. And that is amazing.
Yeah.
In addition to just making scheduling so much easier, this is kind of like how and it goes in the how to start a business with a friend category. That thing of knowing that Erica is, you know, going to visit family on a Sunday afternoon or whatever, it just makes it so much easier if there's some sort of a fire drill on non-working hours, knowing what the what's happening with the other person and
how to account for where the other person is.
Exactly. Yeah. And just sort of how to relate to them and what's been going on in their lives. And I think that has been such a big lifesaver for us just in terms of our relationship, just sort of like getting what's happening with one another in their lives.
Totally. For example, Claire went out to dinner last night with like an old college friend, and I hadn't noticed it on the calendar. And this morning was like, oh my God, really? Oh, right. That
such
happened.
Such a shocker.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. To the point where if I miss it, it feels like,
oh my God,
what am
how
I even
I
doing?
Know? Right.
What am
exactly.
I even doing?
Exactly.
We also have a company-wide sort of calendar that is just assigned to our info at email address that we share all of our work-related meetings on, and we have been asking our employees to share their work-related meetings on so that we can schedule things and see people's availability and just, you know, they don't need to know every single tiny thing we're doing, but it is nice to be able to see what big events are happening, if we're in a long meeting, what we're doing and why we're there.
I think it's nice too, because, you know, I think transparency in an office is great, but we just don't have time to update everybody all the time on what we're doing. And so there's that thing where, you know, if they see that we had a meeting on the calendar and they're interested, they're free to ask, you know, hey, why were you meeting with so-and-so? What was that about?
Exactly.
And it just gives them a sense of what's going on. It's in the same way that I was just talking about knowing what, you know, we're doing as partners, they have a sense of how insane our day is or isn't and how to approach us accordingly, which is really nice.
Yes.
And for them, you know, when they're putting things on that calendar, it's the type of thing where if I'm emailing them or slacking them about something and they're not responding, it's nice to
know why.
Right. That they're out at a designer studio or whatever they're doing. And that is really helpful. I think the more they can sort of, we can all have a sense of what's going on in each other's workloads, it is so much easier than having to check in about it all the time or wonder or just, Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff.
Agreed. We also have an open office sort of floor plan. And so there are a lot of phone calls that happen that people can definitely overhear snippets of, which, you know, is fine. And we encourage. And if people want to listen,
we were selling the company.
Well, that was that was happening from behind a closed door of like a plywood door.
Basically, our interns probably knew we were selling the company before our parents did.
Most likely. But, you know, we encourage, if people want to listen, fine. And I think seeing the calendar gives some like Googleable information, at least, of who we're talking to or what company we're, you know, having a conversation with, and provides a little context if anybody is interested in that way.
And then we have a ton of other calendars, which I swear we live and die by them. And I don't know how other people do this, but all of the things that happen in our company, editorial getting posted, product getting delivered, product getting posted, interns coming in, all of those things have their own calendars.
Yeah.
And it is so simple and easy. Whoever's job it is to schedule those things puts it on the calendar, and then everyone is shared on that calendar and has access to that information. And it's, and you don't have to send out a weekly schedule of here's what's coming up this week. Everybody can just look at the calendar and know what's going on.
And because I swear by search in almost any context, I mean, I can search that calendar.
I had no idea you could search a calendar.
Yeah, you can. Oh, I just search in Google calendars. If I'm looking for a wholesale price,
wow,
I will search in that calendar the name of the product.
God, I just learned something major. I just searched
you
for that in my inbox.
Welcome. I mean, that's fine too, but this, I just love being able to find
Better.
Yeah.
That's way better. That's amazing.
Yeah. Gosh, super helpful.
You're so productive, Erica Cirillo.
I use search. File yeah, find search a lot. Great. Yeah. It's those are my tool. Two huge tips. Everybody.
CC everybody and use the search tool as much as you can. But yeah, so what are our shared calendars? Editorial, product delivery,
press
product
and marketing,
press. Yep. Everybody knows when press is
when we marketing. Have a team calendar that lists when people are out of the office and when interns are in the office,
what newsletters are going out when.
Yeah,
it is so remarkably useful. And obviously all of these things change, I think, as the size of companies grow. But for small businesses, I think, you know, after 5 years, we've got a few things figured out.
Yeah.
And then the other one is maybe so obvious, but Dropbox. It is a magical tool. And
it is a magical tool.
I have no idea how people started small businesses before this. But it's exactly the equivalent of having a shared server the way most people do at their offices. But Dropbox is based in the cloud. So it is very easy for anybody. Anybody can use it. It makes it insanely easy to share files and share big files. There's also a browser version. So if you're not on your computer, you can.
And also the mobile app is great. I use the mobile app all the time to, you know, show pictures of product or to just pull up various things we're working on.
Yeah. And I think everybody should be using it in their personal lives too, because it's just, it is a great way to back up everything. So I now on even on my personal computers, I save nothing to the hard drive, because the other thing too is it means I can access these files no matter which computer I'm on, no matter if I short circuit my
entire
computer.
You lost a computer, two years ago?
Yeah.
And you didn't lose anything because everything was in Dropbox.
It's amazing. I keep my, you know, I keep backups of, you know, all my documents, like taxes and stuff.
I
keep notes.
I have like a shared Dropbox with my husband of like finances and for, you know, leases and tax returns and whatever that stuff that you end up having to send to people.
Exactly. I think, if you're not using it, get on that. Get on the Dropbox.
You know what we should spend the last couple minutes talking about?
Tell me.
The tools we wish existed.
Oh my God. Let's talk about Google Drive.
Okay. we actually have one huge... We have one huge request. I don't even think it's that big of an ask. It's more like it would change our lives so much.
I feel
much.
Like we're not even asking for that big of a
it's
favor.
It's not even that hard.
But Google Drive, if you're listening. Okay, so we should back up a little bit and say Google Drive deserves its own section.
Yeah.
It hopefully, again, everybody is using this. But it is an amazing cloud-based, basically Microsoft Word
competitor.
Killer.
Yeah.
It's Word documents, it's spreadsheets, it's forms, and a great way to collaboratively edit or share information. So anything that's sort of not in Dropbox is in Google Drive, so that we keep a lot there.
So now that we've said something nice about Google Drive.
Also great mobile apps.
What we want is tabbed documents. So in a spreadsheet, you can create different tabs for different things.
You have different tabs in a workbook, right?
In a workbook, exactly. So you have like individual worksheets in a workbook, and you can have a tab for September and October and November. Well, what we want are tabbed documents, because when we're doing something like brainstorming for this very podcast,
you would not believe how unaccommodating Google Drive is to planning this podcast.
You would not believe.
It's remarkable.
We would like to have individual tabs for each episode. Because Excel, you know, right now we're using the spreadsheet, which does not really accommodate the kind of information we're trying to keep.
Yeah.
But an individual document, a working document of sorts, is all like a huge mess and looks gross.
It is a mess. And I just...
Grody.
There's so many wonderful uses for the different sheets within an Excel workbook or spreadsheet.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you also want that same capability in a Word document, right? I have no idea. We come in peace. This isn't meant to be hostile. We love Google Drive. We just think this is...
We just think this is the way that it could actually kill Word.
Yeah, exactly.
We think this is like the missing link.
This is the Microsoft killer.
The other thing that I've been looking for a solution for years, and I think the people listening to the show who should email a few things at ofakind.com when they have the answer,
email us.
Will have something for me. Phone interviews and doing recordings of them.
Yes.
Every app that exists that I have found is kind of terrible.
Yeah.
And I think that there probably is a better solution out there that doesn't involve an English person with an English accent interrupting the phone call as you're calling the person to say that it's being recorded, because that's really awkward, or it doesn't show up as it coming from like an international phone number, which is also really awkward when you're interviewing people.
You're really not setting the right tone for the interview with that sort of a thing.
No,
huh?
I would like a little bit of a warmer. Yeah,
absolutely.
So if anybody has a solution to that, let me know.
God, I didn't know we were doing a Make-A-Wish section. I would have thought more.
I know,
about this.
I didn't either. It was off the cuff. But if anybody does have any work tools that they love, email us.
Tell us. Maybe we'll do a chapter two of what is either the best or the worst episode of this podcast we've ever done.
Boom. Okay. We are going to go.
We're going to go. We'll see you later. We hope this has been fun. And listen to us all the time at Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Thank you so much to the show's engineer, Liz Smith. Today's break music was provided by The Landing, and the theme song to this show is by The Soulful Saints. Thank you so much to our sponsor, Kapow. Also, thanks for tuning in, and if you liked what you heard, tell your friends to subscribe to the show on iTunes, and feel free to get in touch with us at heritageradionetwork.org. Also,
go to
ofakind.com. Go to ofakind.com. Sign up for our newsletter. Tell all your friends to
Claire's wagging her finger right now as she says this, which I'm sure is really inviting.
Yeah, exactly. Can you hear it? Also, leave us comments on iTunes, because there is nothing more exciting than finding a comment on iTunes. And next up, please enjoy this short clip of another fabulous Heritage Radio show called The Speakeasy.
Well, first of all, fall is my favorite season for cocktails. And it's just, like you said, you know, it's during harvest season. You've got all this beautiful, beautiful produce and different, like, just like everything. Everything's happening during like the end of the summer and early fall.
On episode 137 of The Speakeasy, master bartender Aaron Polsky talks to host Damon Bolte on why fall is such a perfect time to make great cocktails.
There are just new ingredients that are available to us in general. You know, and that's great. Like, the accessibility and availability of spices and good quality produce on a wholesale level is awesome. And also the technology to make them work fast. So everybody, well, not everybody, but you and I know the Dave Arnold pioneered rapid infusion technique with an EC container. And of course, you can do that with a cryovac, or as I recently discovered, a food saver with a handy food saver Tupperware canister attachment. You can make things work fast. You can experiment quickly. You can weigh things in grams. You can time how long it takes, how long you're putting suction on it, and you can get really good bitters, good infusions. And that's great in, you know, especially for the fall, because you think of fall, you think of, I mean, all jokes aside, you do think of pumpkin spice. You think of pumpkin pie, and you think of all those warm spices and squash and all that.
Apples, pears.
Apples, pears, pumpkin spice.
Yeah.
I think that six years ago, it would have been difficult to find different types of cinnamon, and now you can easily get them.
Whether you know what a rapid infusion machine is, or you're a bartending novice, be sure to listen to The Speakeasy, available on Heritage Radio Network and iTunes.
for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.